Special guest in conversation this week. Do you know, I think, if memory serves me correctly, this might only be the second time we've actually got them as a pair. Individually, I've done both of them. And I think, well, I think once I got them both in. And I think it was a long, long time ago. They're about to embark on 3 months of one-night stands. I know he's got the stamina. I think she's got the stamina, so they should be doing all right, because it's Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Is this, is this where I apply for a refund, by the way, for my congestion charge? The idea is you pay that to not be congested.
It is true.
I've been congested all the way here.
Isn't it dreadful?
I'd like a refund.
Well, and I shall arrange it for you.
You're too good. I knew you had the power.
I have the power. Actually, to be quite honest with you, ever since they brought in the congestion charge in London, because you're out of townies, aren't you?
Of course, darling.
You're sort of very posh people out of town. By the river.
Of course.
As they say.
Well, we pretend.
Yes. We do live by the river. You must drop in sometime.
I've seen the place.
Oh, yes, you have. Yeah.
I've seen the place. Louis came round and had a good poke around, didn't he?
He did, yes.
I remember that vividly.
Mm. Aye, not where he wanted to poke around.
Aye.
Only where we let him.
And Mr. Paul Daniels was at the Magic Circle the other week, giving a lecture, weren't you? I didn't go, actually, but people reported back.
Really?
People reported back to me. Because I thought to myself, now, why were you down the Magic Circle? Because I remember years and years ago when it was in Cheney's Mews and you went down there and you would do it, you would show people your linking rings and things like that. Yeah. And then you would do it. Were you talking about television magic?
Well, yeah, Noel Britton was a good guy. And
invited you.
He did.
They didn't invite me, just Paul.
Yes. Oh, well, last time you were very rude. I mean, you can't take her anywhere, you know.
And, well, you can, but you know.
Yeah, I'm taking her away this week, I'll tell you. He just invited me to come and chat about the peculiarities of working on television, which is a different theatre to where we normally work. It is a theatre.
Yes.
And I used to get Americans come over, oh, my God, Paul, 16 million viewers. And I said, no. There's only 2, 3, maybe 4 sitting on a settee about 12 feet away.
Exactly.
And once you start thinking like that, your whole way of performing changes, well, mine does, just to entertain them. Mm. I don't think the big stuff, even if you've got a big screen telly, I don't care. I don't think it works as well as intimacy.
Yes.
I love a bit of intimacy.
You can do big illusions, but you have to present it to your audience in a different way to what you do in a theatre.
Did you like magic before you met him?
Absolutely not, Steve.
She hated it.
I could have guessed you'd ask that because you read things. I know. No, hated it.
I know.
Didn't know Paul was a magician when I signed the contract for the show.
Yes, folks, you're listening to Steve Allen, the one who does his research.
Last time I saw you, Steve, you just won an award. You were going off to LA last October.
We did go to LA, didn't we? Mm. We did go to LA, yes. In fact, I had an award from the Lady Ratlings as well. I got a lovely award from the Lady Ratlings.
Really?
Which was very... I know, I've never had an award before. I know you've got shelves groaning at these things, but I've never had anything. I was quite touched by it. I don't...
Yes.
You don't expect to get things, really. I don't know why.
You see, I thought you were touched before.
Yeah, but that was 1967. It was a wet Tuesday, and I was wearing gabardine, as you remember.
And he still is at night, folks.
So what has prompted this going off out on the road again to play all these theatres?
Oh, no. The vast... the minuscule minority of my income has always come from live shows, being on the road. And we're off up to Edinburgh for the whole of August, 28 shows, and then off on a wild for 40 nights it's turned into
now.
Are
you mad?
Pardon?
As your agent just sort of said to you, I booked you on this, and by the way, we put these ones in, and by the way, you're doing 3 months. Counting the dates up.
Agent. Have a look on my website of where we're going, and I'm telling
you,
he's failed at geography.
Yes.
North, south, east, west, you know, but not in that order.
But what's happened this year, Steve, which makes us really want to do it, and that it's exciting, is that Paul sold one of his wigs on eBay, which go into the press.
What a surprise.
A bit of a tale, so we won't go into it, because we haven't got long enough today. But so, between our agent and Paul, they came up with a new name for the show. Hair today, gone tomorrow. And the posters are Paul being bald with the wig being levitated above him. And so it's a whole new show, which actually feels great for us because Paul's been doing kind of a one-man show for a few years.
Yeah.
But coming up with new things and revamping some of the stuff we haven't done for about 20 years, a few of the things we did on telly years ago.
And on the road, Martin's back with us.
Yes, Martin, you're
so we're going to do some sort of
he's funny.
things, the three of us, aren't we? And kind of
you've never worked together, the three of you, have you?
Oh yeah, years ago.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, long
years
time ago.
But then he went off doing cruise ships and that, and now he wants to be a bit more land based, and so he's starting a whole new campaign and all that jazz. He was doing this for a while. He was doing up in Radio Lincoln for a while, and he loves radio.
It's so easy, isn't it? I mean, I say it's so easy. It's so relaxing, and you could, provided you've got some nice people to come in and have a chat, it becomes social, and it's like you talking about doing television magic, and you forget about the audience, the millions watching. Same as when you're doing a radio programme. You don't think about all the people because you've got no idea.
No.
You're just talking into this, and you're aiming it at whoever's working with you.
And you and me look so much better.
I got stopped yesterday by somebody, the police officer, and it doesn't matter. I don't want to go into it.
Let's not go into the sordid details.
And he actually said, I was listening to you this morning, and you tend to forget, because the moment you've done it, you can't remember what you've talked about. Yeah. I've got no idea.
Oh, I had a thing. I came into town and did an interview about something, but on the way, I had to go and have something done, and they gave me some Valium. But what they didn't...
It was
a dentist thing? I don't know. But what happened was... two nurses came in, one after the other, each not knowing, so I double-dosed Valium. And, like, I am so chilled. I am cool like crazy. So, and when they asked me, who do you not like, I named them, you know. And I come out thinking, why is my mouth saying this stuff, you know. And I walked out on the street, all these taxi drivers going by, hey, yeah, you don't like, do you, Paul? Oh, no.
It's the trouble. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Oh. It's like going out to an awards do and you're sort of chatting when you have a few drinks. Then you get lulled into this false sense of security and you start telling people things. And the next thing you know, it's repeated all over the blooming shop. So
you find yourself sitting next to a reporter.
Yes, well, they always say, oh, don't worry, it's all off the record. It's all this and it's all that.
Oh, never off the record.
No. So just going back to the television magic... And, I mean, it was. Did you keep all the illusions? Who owned the illusions from that?
No, it depended. There was a vast range. I mean, it was, 16 years or something?
Yeah.
And some I designed were made and just destroyed straight away. Some were designed and I kept them for a long time, but I've been clearing out and I got rid of the last big collection about 4 months ago.
Right.
And they went off to Welsh Wales, and Welsh Wales, a boy there, wants to be an illusionist. And so...
I look at Debbie's face. You can read so much in Debbie's face. The long-suffering Debbie McGee, they used to say.
Years ago, Jack Tinker wrote that I was Paul's stoic wife, and a lovely friend of ours phoned me up and said, what does stoic mean?
Stoic?
Yes.
Is it a new vodka or something?
Yes, I'm having a stoic.
But you have to be to put up with him, because he's been in the business for such a long time.
A long time.
He's never off.
No, that's
he's
right.
He's on, isn't he?
Oh, no. I'm never on.
Oh, yeah, no,
I'm never on. This is me. I don't put an act on when I walk on stage.
No, but I say, but you are working. It's Leo. I remember Eric Morecambe coming in, and Eric Morecambe could not walk through a newsroom without having to at least make somebody smile or something. That was Michael Bentine the same. It's the business. It's what you're in.
And but I don't think we do that. I think what we are is what we are. And I'm just a happy guy having fun, and why not?
He talks to everybody, you know.
I know.
Can't take him to the supermarket.
Restaurants, I'm told.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Terrible.
Paul doesn't believe me when I tell him, and it's very nice that you talk to everybody. But a few years ago, we were in Australia.
Australia?
And we were meeting up with Gloria Honiford. And she said, what are you doing tomorrow? And we said, we're going to this big market where we were in Byron Bay, which had thousands and thousands of stalls. And she said, oh, will one day be enough? Because by the time you leave, we'll have spoken to everybody. See, I'm not the only one.
It was great. Do you know what I found there? I found half-crown coins. There was a little coin stall.
With half-crowns.
And that's what I learned when I was a kid. Half-crown coins. And all my manipulations were learned with
half-crown coins.
So I picked one up, and I'm doing this, and this Australian said...
You can't help it.
You're very good, he says. Why don't you set a little stall up over there and put a hat down, you know, and I thought...
He said you'll make some money, didn't you?
Make some money. I was tempted.
You could have done, exactly. But you're right, because all the coin tricks over the years, as they keep changing the blasted coinage, you have to keep updating everything.
Yeah. Well, you update your fingers. Well, I did, yeah.
Yes. But then did you start just with a pack of cards? Because you're the best with a pack of cards. You're happiest, aren't you, with a pack of cards?
Well, no, not really. I'm just happy all the time. But I'm pretty good, apparently. Did a private party the other night and... had lots of fun because all I had to do was card tricks. I did card tricks on stage, I did card tricks off stage. So that was really good. But I didn't start them until I was 18. I was 11 when I started magic. But when I was 18, I was taken into the army. And the easiest thing to carry around was a pack of cards. Mm. And in fact, somewhere on the Yorkshire Moors, when you're in the infantry, you have these two pouches on the front with hand grenades in. And somewhere in the Yorkshire Moors, there's two hand grenades buried because that made space for my packs of cards. In the thing. I figured if Hitler came back with his Teutonic hordes, I would frighten him off saying, pick a card. You know.
And you probably would.
I love the way you have these conversations between the two of you. It's like you've never spoken before. It's like you've only just met and you're having this conversation. She'll say something to him. He looks at her like he's never seen her before in his life. And who is this woman who's coming up with this stuff?
You can't believe I've said it.
I know.
After all these years.
So horrified.
Who gave her a microphone?
Well, because she got her revenge back on the show when finally she did an illusion where sort of it was a woman doing the illusion.
Mm. With Danny LaRue.
And the little... I don't remember that. Was it with Dan, was it?
It was Danny. Danny dressed as a fella and I was dressed in drag as...
Oh, I remember your dress.
A woman.
Danny made a much better female. It has to be said.
It has to be said.
Yes, I mean, Danny looked good.
My legs, you know.
Yes, you would like try to be Marlena Dietrich as well.
Oh, no, that was another
show. No, that was another show.
Yes.
Another Don't moment. Even go down
the
that route.
The one with Danny, I actually came in and said, I've had some fan letters, I'm going to take over the show. There's an out clip somewhere of what really happened at the beginning of that.
Because I bust out laughing.
Yes, because I did a quick change into a tuxedo and walked out from behind a screen.
And I suggested that she should fasten her flies. She'd forgotten.
I'd come out with my flies undone. Yeah.
Big surprise there. Mm. Very quick break. More from Paul and Debbie right after this.
LBC 97.3. LBC 97.3. In conversation with Steve Allen.
Special guest in conversation, Paul Daniels, the lovely Debbie McGee. When did that start, Paul Daniels and the lovely Debbie McGee? When did that bit come in?
Catchphrases start by accident. And just one day, because there was never a script on the show. There's never a script in my shows at all. Pantomimes kill me because you have to learn it. And but then I do wander off. But then this...
this is so true.
But this is so true. And so what happened was I just turned around one day and said, oh, we need somebody on stage now, brought on by the lovely Debbie McGee. And it has a flow to it, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it just has a flow. So I kept that in.
Mm, and the fact that I'm so horrible, nobody ever knows, you know, it's
nasty. Well, nobody ever predicted that your marriage would last.
No, exactly.
They were all going, oh, no, it'll never work, this one. How many years down the line?
Yeah. That was me. I said
that. Was you saying that?
I said that.
He's still saying it.
He's horrible, isn't he, at times?
23 years later and you're still saying
it. Really?
Yeah, we've been together 33 years.
Wow.
32 years.
They only argue.
This year. Every time people say, how long have you been together?
30.
Paul keeps adding.
Because he's old, he can't remember, for goodness sake.
Hey, steady now.
Sorry, I do beg
steady.
Your pardon. I was Pots, just jumping into the argument.
Pots,
I do
kettles,
beg your pardon.
Hello.
79, that was our first show together. 1979.
Well,
Yarmouth,
that was the year that I actually joined LBC. So
was it?
It's significant, I know.
Wow.
Long time down the line, isn't it? Ooh. And I'm only 33.
Yeah.
Listen, I must show you where the way out is.
I've seen it. Believe you me. So Edinburgh is quite testing for a month.
Well, no, it's really great because we're on at 5 o'clock every day for an hour.
5 till 6.
So we get to see all the other shows.
God, you go and eat every day.
I'll be fat when we leave, yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
And last night I heard the Segway sisters are going to be there, so that's great. And
we've got quite a few other buddies up there, so we'll be able to go and see
Sarah
their
Millican's
shows.
On, so we're going to see her. And I'm excited, yeah. I love Edinburgh in August. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I was invited to be a judge up there for the Perrier years and years, and I never took it up because I remember thinking, I've got to go up there for this amount of time.
It wasn't that. It was because it was water.
That's true. Because it was water. If it'd been whiskey, I'd have been different about the whole thing.
No, we're really excited, and we tried out the show at the Udderbelly on the South Bank.
Yes.
May.
That went really well, didn't it? Over there. That was good.
So we know it all works. Good. So, yeah, it's good.
And then is that going to be different from the show you're taking out?
On tour,
yes. So the one on tour is a two-hour show. So that's got to be,
you know, with Martin and...
Right.
Martin.
How are you going to split that on tour? Is he going to do first bit, you'll do second
half?
We
don't know. We have to have a meeting. I sent him a message. I have no idea where he is. If he's in prison again. Oh, dear. No, we're going to... we'll have a meeting, and I would like to see a different approach to the first half, certainly, whereby...
You've got your dressing gown and slippers on.
Thank you very much. Okay. Again.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it? Yeah. Debbie comes on, will be featured in a downlight, as they say, and then Martin maybe, and then me, and then go back to Martin and Debbie. So I'd like to break
got
the first
a lighting plot.
Oh, yeah, yes. No tricks, but
no
good
tricks,
lighting.
Lots of good lighting.
Yes, you must come and see the lighting. It's going to be very good.
Because you're right, you have to sort of get there. Do you take a team with you, or do you use the team in the theatres?
For example, the van went up to Edinburgh last night.
So
on tour, we'll have a guy with a van, our own stage manager, that will go ahead.
Right.
And he'll instruct the theatre crews of what we need.
And then we have to decide, you know, like stupid things, like who's going to look after the rabbits and stuff like that, you know, because the rabbits. Oh, yes.
We brought the rabbits back to the act. Yes, I know, Steve.
It's hysterical. We've got one. It's a new one because one escaped and we need to replace it. We've got a tiny little baby girl rabbit, white with blue eyes, and I've called her Hopper 7.
Hopper 7.
For real. And I had to say to the vet, because she needed, you know, her first injection, they said, yes, and what's your rabbit's name? And I had
Hopper 7.
Well, my husband named her Hopper 7,
And the vet goes, right. I should imagine vets are quite used to that kind of thing
nowadays.
She said,
don't worry. She said, we've had worse names than that.
The rabbit's answer to name, they're not... Because I've noticed, I thought about this the other day. I thought about it quite quickly. And I remember thinking, you have pet cats and dogs. Nobody's ever had a pet bumblebee, have they? No. Are they not easy to train or something? Or
no,
wasps?
Rabbits are the easiest to house train. They're the cleanest pets.
Yes.
Yeah. The easiest to house train.
Yes,
and
they only leave pellets, don't they? So
well, no,
right.
Ours, the eldest one, Gil, he doesn't poo in the house at all.
Gil?
Mm. Yeah, after Gillini.
Short for Gil. Oh, Gillini.
Gillini,
oh, right.
Who's
a good friend.
Yes.
And he sits on the settee and he likes some telly, but he's focused on Poirot. He really likes Poirot.
You're quite mad, aren't you? Yeah. He is not focused on Poirot.
He really does.
He doesn't move.
There, and I think he's thinking, should I have my whiskers waxed like that? You know,
and when the credits go up on Poirot, then he'll turn round and face the other way or walk up to the other end of the sofa. But when Poirot's on, he sits right in the middle of the sofa watching it. Yeah.
I love rabbits. I think my brother used to have two, but they were blind. And so he couldn't move the furniture around for 2 years, so because they had to learn where to go.
Aww.
And if he'd moved the furniture, they'd be banging into things. But they learned how to do the sitting room.
Is there a market for crash helmets blind rabbits?
For blind rabbits.
What do you think?
Oh, you can get, you know, leads to walk them now.
You should see her.
Where are you mixing? Where are you going?
No,
they take one. We've got one.
Walk rabbits, they lollop.
You can take your rabbit for a walk now around the park.
Woman.
You
mad?
There was a sponsored rabbit walk last
year. Oh, for goodness. Where
are
you living? You're living in a home or something. What's going on?
Listen, she's got a crash helmet because Debbie has taken to being Miss Marple's or the Wicked Witch of the West on a bike with a basket on the front.
No. Well, actually, I quite like that idea. That's very good.
I go down to the supermarket in the morning, fresh bread.
Really? You've always looked after. She's always looked after herself. She's always been, because she was a dancer, she's always been, you know, dancers always look after themselves. They never seem to put on weight.
You see, you're from the South, aren't you?
Yes. And the giveaway was?
Dancer.
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 As opposed to dancer. It's only because when I moved up to London, I used to live with three dancers.
Oh, dancers.
From Arts Educational. And
they would be, yes.
They would be. Which is very good, actually. Yeah. And in fact, what happened, a lot of the dancers there, because they were too... Don't mess the chairs, please, not now.
We've already broken one.
You've already broken one chair. Yeah. Don't you break two, you'll be in trouble. And the dancers there were too tall. Ballet dancers, so they went on to be Bluebell girls.
Yeah.
And they went to the Lido and things like that.
And made more money. And probably
they
had
did,
more
but
fun.
Tough work.
Isn't it stupid, though? You just said something that really amazes me. They're too tall to be ballet dancers.
Yes.
Well, then why do they employ the little ones and put them on point? I mean, why don't they just let them be tall?
Have you ever seen poor girls on point? They're bruised toes and bleeding. Because they start with blocks of wood, don't you?
Well,
In your ballet shoes?
Well, it's a special glue now, I think, but it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be a block.
But the funny thing is, it depends on the strength of your ankles and your feet, but I was as comfortable on point when I was young.
Really?
As I was just walking on normal shoes.
Oh, wow.
I could just stand up and be there forever.
Maybe I
should.
You
used to get them
point.
From Freed's, the ballet shoes.
Yeah, Freed's, yeah.
Everyone used to go to Freed's. And then the other thing is that the Bluebell girls, when they used to come over here, the one thing they had to go and buy were false eyelashes, which you couldn't get in Paris or Vegas, and they would stick 10 pairs together.
Yep.
Because otherwise you couldn't see their eyes from the stage.
And if they ran out, because I had friends who, again, couldn't be ballet dancers, and when I was a student, I used to go over to Paris and stay with them, and they used to get black paper and cut them up as eyelashes and stick them on if they ran out of eyelashes.
I used to do that as Charlie Chaplin and stick a moustache on, yeah. That was a routine you never
nobody
saw.
Nobody understands, though, just how tough it is for dancers out there. They did a great programme, I think, called Dancers, which looked at girls from 16, because only in America are the dancers older. Here, 16, you'd be doing seaside shows and things like that. Mm. And in Paris, I think 18 for topless, but you had to stand naked in a plastic tent while a little old French man with a gouloir sprayed them brown.
That was me on Strictly Come Dancing.
It was you!
Yes! It's amazing how much they put on you and where.
They sprayed you, yes.
Oh, did you have to be waxed?
Tent, wasn't it? Yeah.
Did you have waxing?
No.
Have you ever had waxing?
No. What's more, I have avoided pain and exercise all my life. As indeed have you. Yes.
I am living proof. Somebody said to me, if ever you get the urge to sort of to do exercise, drink about 3 glasses of wine and the feeling goes quite quickly. It's remarkable. You don't
I lay down
need to
till
do
it passes off. My son, Gary, is a personal trainer.
Oh.
But he, amongst other things, he trains personal trainers. I mean, this guy is so fit, I've cut him out of the will.
Oh, yes, you don't want fit people.
Oh, no, no. When definitely I die, don't. I want to go looking as if I've suffered from something. I don't want to go looking healthy.
Believe you, Emile, she'll make sure you do.
You're so right.
You'll have that pained expression on your face.
That's why I have a food taster.
Just in case.
Just in
but obviously
case.
Life very good for you both at the
it's
moment.
Great.
You look really well. You look really happy.
Yeah,
you
had a great year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as a showbiz couple, you know, he's diverse, hasn't he?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
Lord knows he's diverse. Doing all sorts of things, which probably years ago you wouldn't have done.
I'm going to go and look them. No, I always wanted to do other stuff.
Really?
I loved it when I got a part in a play. I started, my first acting was round the corner from here at the Comedy Theatre. And it went downhill after that. Yeah, but
school,
I was...
School for Wives, wasn't it?
L'école des femmes, oui. Yeah. And then I went... And I got a part in Scrooge, which I loved.
Oh,
I was
love it.
Scrooge.
Yes.
Debbie said I'd been rehearsing that for years. But it was... I just love acting. I wish I'd get more of that.
You never know. Listen, anything is possible in this day and age.
You really
never
think
never.
That at this time of the morning that people are listening? Yes?
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking producers, theatricals, you know,
all
darling.
All sorts of people. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Put it this way, all you have to do is ask. And it shall be granted.
Well, please, can I be in a movie? Thank you.
I see. No, you don't want to be a movie. I think
I
you should do Scrooge on stage, because I see you in a nice tall hat. Enjoy Edinburgh. Enjoy Will.
Yes.
And enjoy
Thank
the
you.
Tour.
Lovely
Thank
to
you,
see
sir.
You.
Bless
Lovely
you and you both as well. That's Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee.